In the Holy Gospels, our Lord really gives the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious authorities of the Jews, a very bad time. But that's because they gave him a very bad time, and they were, as we say, Pharisees. You know, we've coined a word, an adjective. It's very Pharisaical of you to say that, meaning that the Pharisees did God lip service. They stood in a position of authority. They were the ones who were to teach, and our Lord told people to listen to them, do as they say, but don't do as they do. And yet their hearts were far from God. In fact, they were the ones who would complain on the one hand that our Lord was working a miracle on the Sabbath to heal and to strengthen those who were brought down. And then as soon as they had finished complaining, having seen his miracle and seen him work the power of God, they would, on the Sabbath, plot for his death. And it's in that context that our Lord tells this parable of the Pharisee and the publican praying in the synagogue, where the Pharisee, because he seems to be doing all the right things, justifies himself before the Lord. And on the other hand, the publican, who was an outcast among the Jews, a man who was unclean because he had cooperated with the Romans in collecting taxes, was humbling himself before the Lord and not even daring to raise his eyes to God. And our Lord says the one goes home justified and the other does not, meaning the publican goes home justified and the Pharisee did not. And unfortunately, historically, you know, this is very often the case that those who hold authority in our society tend to either be guilty of this kind of self-righteousness, or when they fail to live up to the standard that God has called them to, they become the object of ridicule. And so, as we conclude this summer encampment for fathers and sons, we remember the way in which fatherhood is denigrated in society today, and how difficult it is for fathers to pursue their vocation because the world has become so cynical. We're not only cynical of politicians, and unfortunately, church leaders, but we have become cynical of our fathers, cynical of fathers both within the family and within the church. And of course, there are reasons for it. Very often there are wolves in sheep's clothing who destroy the little ones. So it's not as though there's no reason for our cynicism. But cynicism in itself is never a good thing, even if there are reasons why it came to be. And somehow we have to seek a restoration and remember that, you know, God puts people in positions of authority for his own reasons, in his own provident design. He gives us shepherds. And sometimes they're shepherds after his own heart, sometimes they are not. In the Old Testament, when the Jews wanted a king, God said, "You'll be sorry if you do this." God was their king. He didn't want to give them a king. He told them they would regret it if they sought a king. And of course they did. There were a few good kings, but most of them, you know, placed burdens on people's shoulders that they in themselves were not worthy, willing or worthy to carry, just as the Pharisees did and our Lord criticized them for in the Holy Gospel. But in the last analysis, you know, we get the shepherds we deserve, in a sense, because the shepherds are always taken from the flock. They're always taken from the flock. And we are one family. And we either support one another or we sink with one another. It's just the way things are. And so all of us have to take the position of the publican, and invoke the mercy of God on ourselves and on our brothers and sisters, and never retire repeating what we learned through our Lord's divine mercy, is that now is the time for mercy. And while, as you know, people who are trying to follow the way of justice, we want to bring peace into the world, sometimes we have to stand up and be counted when it's unpopular. Very often in this world we have to do that. And we have to seek justice at every turn of events. But we better be careful about crying out for God's justice, because when we get before the Lord, that's all there's going to be is justice. Right now we have time for mercy, and we better invoke it upon not only ourselves but our brothers and sisters as well, and seek their conversion. That's the predicament we find ourselves in. In no man is an island, you know. We can point the finger at other people and say they're the reason for my problem, but in the end we all have choices to make, and we all go before the Lord alone. In the very end, there's going to be nobody there but us and God, and God's going to judge us on our own merits, not on what anybody else did. And as I told the men yesterday, you will stand before the judgment seat of God with our hand over our mouth. We won't have anything to say, no excuses to make, you know, no bum raps. It'll all be very, very clear. And so now is the time for mercy. Now is the time to call down God's mercy. We cry too much for justice. We might just end up getting it, and we may not like what we find. We ought to be just and protect the innocent, protect those who are in need. Yeah, we ought to do plenty of that. But we ought to all recognize that we all are in need of God's forgiveness. And God wants to forgive us. God wants to give us His grace. He wants us to be raised up and to enjoy His mercy right now. But in a particular way, we need to draw down God's mercy upon our fathers who need to be able to lead. I often point out to people, you know, if you wait till your fathers are perfect, you're never going to obey them. You know, sometimes we think that in this world, the only one that we should really follow is the one who's most like Christ. It would be nice if things were that way. And it is a wonderful thing when we have saintly fathers, saintly priests, saintly bishops, all that. We should have that. We should pray for that. We should desire it, you know, but as the sheep, we should merit that as well. We should do what we can to merit shepherds after the heart of Christ. And that comes from our own sacrifices. Meanwhile, however, sometimes, virtually all the time, we have to follow people who are imperfect. You know, our fathers are not perfect. That doesn't mean that, you know, that's a good reason not to follow. You know, and it's just that, that's the paradox or the predicament in which we find ourselves in. We all go to God together, or we all go to hell together. And we've got to get back on track by invoking the mercy of God and turning to the Blessed Mother in a particular way, because it's the Blessed Mother who teaches us to trust our Father. She's the one who teaches us to trust our Father. And our Father in heaven, of course, is perfect. Our Lord says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. He is perfect. And we can trust Him. But Our Lady will also show us how to be good fathers, how to be good children, how to create good families in the world, which is so, it's what we need more than anything else. You know, and it's really a work of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul today in the first letter to the Corinthians talks about the charismatic gifts. Some of them are extraordinary. Some of them are not as extraordinary. You know, being able to make good judgments in difficult situations. Being able to govern. Being able to discern the spirits. all of which are things that fathers need to be able to do, are charisms that are given to those who need them, if we invoke them, if we invoke the graces given to us by the Holy Spirit. And the charisms don't save anybody, you know, the charismatic gifts don't make anybody holy, but they are there for the good of the church and the edification of the church. And those who are in a position to have to do certain jobs, like a father, are entitled to what they need in order to perform their task. And so, you know, we should invoke those gifts. We need a new Pentecost. That's what John the 23rd hoped and prayed for when he invoked the Second Vatican Council. It's what John Paul II prayed for at the turn of the millennium. It's what Pope Benedict prayed for when he came to New York City, St. Patrick's, prayed for a new Pentecost. And there's a sense in which that new Pentecost will come when God's will is honored in such a way that we draw down an outpouring of God's grace upon us. And in a certain way, that's what the triumph of the Immaculate Heart is in reality. The Immaculate Heart of Mary, when her triumph comes, there will be an outpouring of God's grace on the world. And we should pray for that day. We should pray for miracles. That's what this world needs. It needs miracles within the family, within the church, within society. We need them badly. And so let us not be cynical or lose hope. Let us always be filled with hope and with the joy of the Holy Spirit, because our Lord told us that we would have trials and tribulations to face, but that His grace would be sufficient for us and would bring ultimately victory to the world in which we live. We just have to follow the way of humility and penance, the way of the publican and not that of the Pharisee. We turn to our Lord and His mercy and invoke it with all our hearts, knowing that His desire is to bring us mercy, to bring us grace, and to bring us healing and truly His miracles, by which we will find His victory in our lives and the kingdom of God coming to us, not only in the next life when we pass and to heaven, but even now as we struggle and fight for the kingdom of God.